So we have to remember who's speaking here, Gajendra the elephant. What is he, an ordinary elephant? No, he's not an ordinary elephant. First of all, he's a deva who was cursed. But beyond that, here we see that he's situated in pure devotional service. By force, he has already been pushed into Atma Nivedana. You know the meaning? Atma Nivedana? Yes, no? You don't know the meaning? No? You're a new devotee, I hope? New devotee? That's okay. You're excused. So you have to read in Prabhupada's books, but I find out sometime, you know. Recently, I was shocked when I asked congregation member in class, what does Nitya Siddha mean? No answer. What is Saktivashavara? No answer. This is a 15-year devotee. Disaster. Fortunately, they're not initiated. And I told the Prabhus there, make sure that this person doesn't get initiated anytime soon, because after 15 years, there's no... They'll never understand who Prabhupada is. If you don't understand he's Saktivashavara and Nityasiddha, you'll never understand Prabhupada. Nityasiddha Haravima, many of you know the meaning, Nityasiddha. Uh-oh. That's not too good. So congregation, I see hardly any of the congregation has raised their hands. So you have to study in Srila Prabhupada's. If you've studied at all in Srila Prabhupada's books, you'll find out Nityasiddha. No. Does somebody, anybody got Vedabase on their mobile? On their mobile. Vedabase. Not the Gita base, Vedabase. You have it? Look up Nityasiddha. No, no. Look up how many times does Nityasiddha appear in Prabhupada's books. So Gajendra is not an ordinary elephant, and not even an ordinary deva, because by the mercy of the Lord, he became a pure devotee. He didn't start as a pure devotee, but the tapasya of being chewed on by the crocodile, this is called forced tapasya. Involuntary. It wasn't his plan, that's for sure. But by force, he had to perform tapasya. Because he didn't come to that valley to do tapasya, hardly. That chapter of the Bhagavatam explains this place on the heavenly planets. It's a maha resort. The devas go there to engage in sex in the caves. It's a paradise. The painting shows very nicely. The paintings very accurately depict the descriptions of Bhagavatam. It's a paradise. But it's material sense gratification. It's not directly related with Krishna consciousness. They go there to enjoy, like anything. It's a very high-class, exclusive resort for the devas. They go there strictly to enjoy. And Gajendra, he was extra giant-sized elephant. And he was the king of the elephants. So as the king of the elephants, he had many, many wives. And he was enjoying sex with all his wives. And then he went into the water just to take a dip. And then the crocodile bit on his leg. And this went on, what? 10,000 years or something. He tried to get out. He could not get out because the crocodile was in his element of water, and the water is not the ultimate element for an elephant. And so he was there and actually had nothing to eat. Of course, elephants are vegetarian, but he couldn't even like dip down and like take some algae out of the water or something like that. He was basically forced to fast for thousands of years. That's tapasya. And the crocodile, on the other hand, Prabhupada points out that he was certainly getting some nourishment. Why? He's non-veg, he's chewing on the leg of the crocodile. That's shown in the painting. The blood is coming out of the foot of the elephant. He's getting some new protein, so to speak, you know, blood, and maybe some flesh also. In the meantime, Gajendra is getting weaker and weaker. In fact, just he was going to leave his body. The situation was dismal, means unfortunate, no future. He was going to die. But because he was previously a devotee of the Lord, therefore he began to remember prayers before he became a big sense enjoyer, king of elephants, you know. But he remembered some prayers from his past life, and he began reciting them. And in the purpose there, Prabhupada points out that therefore one should learn prayers, so that if you're ever in some difficulty at the end of life, Ante Narayana Smriti, at the end of life, one can remember Narayana or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you may remember at least Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajame, Bandeham prayers, something, you see. Some prayers this Prabhupada is recommending there, that once you know some prayers, so that you can recite some prayers at the time of death, it is very suitable. So Gajendra was in great difficulty. He had no strength left. But with great endeavor, with his very last energy, he picked up the lotus flower with his trunk. There was a lotus flower in the water. It was an opulent lake. He picked up the lotus flower with the trunk. He offered it up. You can see in the illustration how he offered it up in the sky, and he offered it to Lord Vishnu as an offering. That's all he could do. He couldn't perform arti, puja, jagna. Was not an option for him. He was completely debilitated. He was down. So with his very last energy, he picked up the lotus flower with his trunk and he offered it to Lord Vishnu. But we can understand from Bhagavad Gita, Patram Puspam Phalam Choyam Bhurje Bhakti Priyachate. Offer me with love and devotion a fruit, a flower, a leaf, or water, and I will accept it, Krishna says. So therefore, the Supreme Lord accepted that offering of a lotus flower. That's all he could do. So then Lord Vishnu, merciful Lord, accepted that offering, and that's when he then appeared before both Gajendra and the crocodile and delivered them. And they went again to Devaloka. But the idea is that Gajendra, as a not ordinary elephant, he was acharya. You might say, wait a minute, he's an elephant, how could he be acharya? Because he became a pure devotee. Through that severe austerity, he became a pure devotee. And in this way, he is preaching. He is teaching us. If he were an ordinary elephant, he wouldn't be in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? There's nobody sitting here today that's going to be in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. So he couldn't have been an ordinary deva, couldn't have been an ordinary living entity. But he was acharya. How? By reciting prayers to the Lord. Acharya, they recite prayers to the Lord constantly, nonstop. So he was reciting prayers to the Lord, and smaranam, remembrance, bandhanam, prayer, parasevanam, worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. So shravanam, kirtanam, so all these things put together, mainly Vishnu smaranam, mainly remembering the Lord. That was his deliverance. But in the prayers by Govinda Das, the prayers, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smarnam, Banam, Parasevinam, Dasim, Sakyam, Matnam, Vedimam, all the nine processes of devotions that were given. But Srila Prabhupada comments in the purports of the songs. So I hope someday soon all those songs need to be published along with Srila Prabhupada's purports to the songs. Hasn't been done. It's very important because there are gems of greater knowledge that the devotees can't figure out or understand, but will understand it by Srila Prabhupada's revelations in his purports to the songs. Do you understand? The purports are revelations. Just like the written purports, Bhaktivedanta purports, Srila Prabhupada, those are my ecstasies, not ordinary authorship. So in the songbooks, the purports need to be published, complete. It'll be a very large, perhaps more than one volume. That's all right, because we need to hear it, you see. Regarding this song, Prabhupada says in the purport, you can practice nine of the processes, eight of them, seven of them, six of them, five, and he counts all the way down. But even if you practice only one of them, you can perfect your life. You see? So you can see that that's a very important gem coming out of the purports to that song, which Prabhus all over the world are singing that song regularly, but we see the depth of the purport. So here we see that Gajendra, the elephant, is perfecting his life primarily by two means, Vishnu Smaranam and Bandhanam. And he was successful after performing that involuntary tapasya. But involuntary tapasya means the favor of the Lord. He's known as Hari, H-A-R-I, not as well as H-A-R-E, H-A-R-I. You know these things already? You know all that? Then where's your notebook? No notebook? You should come with notebook. You learn new things in every class. H-A-R-I means who takes away everything. It is said that if the Lord favors a devotee, he takes away everything. Hari, H-A-R-I. If he loves his devotee, he may fulfill their material desires. But if they're having lots of material desires, that is, Sakama platform is not favorable at all to pure devotional service. As pure devotional service is defined by Srila Rupa Goswami, the ultimate acharya. Everyone say, please, loudly, Anya bilasa sunyam jnana karmadi anavrita anokoyena krishnano shinam bhakti uttamam. Uttamam. Uttamam is coming from the same Sanskrit base, uttamam, English word ultimate. Yes? The word ultimate is coming from uttamam. So many English words are coming from Sanskrit, but I don't know if they've updated Webster's dictionary to admit that. Or they try to say some rubbish about the Indo-European civilization, the civilized people from Persia who made their way east and brought civilization to the poor natives of India. That's the British conception, you know. In their loincloths, for God's sake, they don't know anything, the ignorant fools. This is all was with the British mentality of the 1800s. Robert McCulloch, number one demon. The Yamadus are still having fun with him, you see, more than 100 years later of our time. But he'll probably be down in the hellish planets, a non-vegetarian demon who caused great damage try to destroy the Vedic culture. He'll be down there perhaps till the end of the day of Brahma or worse, you know. Now, I'm not joking. Such a demon like that, you know, attacking Vedic culture. He said, if you all want to subjugate the people of India, then you must convince them that their culture is inferior. Did he do a good job of it? Yes, no? No? You say no? That's the safe way out. Roll your head. Did he do a good job? So again, I need a relay person up here. Somebody, the relay person I need. No, here. Loud.
Partially, yes.
Partially, I'm sorry. Very less of the culture purely. Some survived. There's still some pure culture in India, but very less. Very less. I recommend that you read the biography of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Do you have the Bhaktivinoda Veda base? So you have to buy it. It's a very necessary tool for studying Krishna consciousness. It has all of Prabhupada's books. Then it has many other books also, such as the Seventh Goswami, a book by one of my godbrothers, which describes the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He takes from many sources, very well prepared. So he describes that in the Calcutta of the 1800s, there were those that were faithful to the culture of India, and there was a fight. A battle of Kurukshetra was going on between them, and they were in the minority, actually. And those who wanted to do everything the British way. So westernization was rampant. And Calcutta in those days, believe it or not, was the intellectual capital of the world. It's hard to imagine now, but well, now it's trying to become the IT capital of the world, but in those days, philosophically, it was the intellectual capital of the world. All the pundits would meet there and so forth in the 1800s. So there was a camp of those that were fighting to save the Vedic culture and the Vedic conception, and those that had been completely poisoned by British propaganda and were trying to modernize all of India. So there was a fight going on. But those that were trying to preserve, they were in the minority. They were not in the majority. Though, yes, some of it survived. Some of the Vedic culture, there were still some pure Brahmas after the 1800s, but since that time, it's all been going down. Nowadays, the Brahmins are bidi smokers, wine drinkers, you know, looking for bribes, you know, that's all. Corrupted, most of them. The majority are corrupted. Not so much pure Brahmins anymore. Sudrilabha, Krishna says, very rare. So, Gajendra can be counted as Acharya. By the time he leaves his body, by the time he offers these prayers, he can be counted as Acharya. Otherwise, why they would be included in the Bhagavatam? Ordinary conversation cannot be included in the Bhagavatam. Only a conversation fit for Paramahansas can be included in the Bhagavatam. So Gajendra became that. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he came first to the West and then traveled all over the world to make devotees. His mission was to make pure devotees. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could make even one pure devotee, then my mission is successful. But he managed to train up some advanced devotees, It depends on your definition of pure devotee, you know. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he transformed lowest grade Westerners and later other places also from all over the world. He went to Mexico also, not just North America. He went to Mexico also, South America. So many places that Srila Prabhupada went. Africa, he went to Africa, not just America. He exceeded the order of his Guru Maharaj. So, in the process, he made so many pure devotees. And when we say that, we don't mean Paramahansa. We mean who follow Acharya. Anyone who follows Acharya strictly can be called a pure devotee. Write it down. Did you know that? Then write it down. Srila Prabhupada says, remember means write it down. Anyone who follows Acharya strictly can be called a pure devotee. And so the definition of pure devotee is like a pyramid. On the bottom you have the lowest definition of pure devotee is, and the broadest definition of pure devotee, who follows Acharya strictly. For us that means rising early in the morning, chanting 16 rounds, following regular principles, worshipping the deity, engaging in kirtan, eating only Krishna prasad. Who does like that can be considered a pure devotee. That's the base definition. And at the top of the pyramid, you have got Paramahansa. That's not a small position. Paramahansa is not a small title. How many of you know the meaning Paramahansa? One man knows, two men know, three, four, five. Only about eight. Ladies, anybody know the definition of Paramahansa? Ladies don't know. At this temple here, I see the ladies need to just read more in Prabhupada's books. Everybody needs to read more in Prabhupada's books. That's why I do these surveys. I do these surveys for the shock value to reveal the fact that Prabhus are not reading enough in Prabhupada's books, or they could answer any question I ask. These are not huge, gigantic questions. I mean, I didn't ask you about the structure of the universe according to the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. I can hardly follow it myself, we'll just speak of ask you what is the structure of the universe according to the fifth canto. I don't expect you to answer a question like that. But what does Paramahansa mean? You're supposed to know. Let me ask again. All right, who does not know the definition of Paramahansa? Who does not know? Well, you're a yellow boy, but that means how long you've been practicing Krishna consciousness? Four years? Did I hear correctly? 4 years practicing Krishna consciousness, but you don't know what is Paramahansa? You can't say what is Paramahansa? You know what is Paramahansa. Oh, I thought you said you didn't know. Okay, fine. Then you're off the hook. Who doesn't know the definition of Paramahansa? Who does not know the definition of Paramahansa? Well, there's some newer devotees have some excuse. Maybe. You don't know, but you're fairly new to Krishna consciousness. Is that right? See, anybody who reads the Prabhupada's books will understand quickly. If you just read Bhagavad Gita cover to cover, you will understand what is Paramahansa. You can't read Bhagavad's books without finding out. You can't read Bhagavad Gita without finding out what is Paramahansa. Who had the Vedabase on there? Did you find that? Huh? was that other word I said should be looked up? Nitya-siddha. Did you find it? Huh?
You're not in the Veda Vyas, is the problem.
You're in the in the Gita base. Yeah, you can't find words in there, can you? Words and phrases. Nitya-siddha. I know that the program is available. The full Veda Vyas is available. You have to have net on your phone. It's well worth it. They charge a premium for it. It's well worth it. Because then you can get the full definition. Whatever, everything in Prabhupada's books and conversations, darshans, everything you can get. The full database. You can get it through the net if you have net connection. Point is, we're saying Jai Om Vishvabhar Paramahansa. So Paramahansa means swan-like. The swan is considered one of the most beautiful animals of all, or birds, if you want to say bird. It's considered the most beautiful, stately, heavenly. After all, Lord Brahma is riding on a swan. He's not riding on a jet plane that pollutes the air. Oh, you found it? How many times?
400?
131 times Paramahansa Nitya-siddha. 131 times the Prabhupada's books. 431 times in Prabhupada's books. You're not reading Prabhupada's books. Proof. You're not doing it. I just proved it. Is it not? I just proved it. 431 times in the books and conversations. Nitya-siddha. And if you do not know what is Nitya-siddha, you cannot understand Prabhupada, ever. Well, I don't know if ever is the right. Not fair to say ever. You will understand one day after you leave this body, maybe. You know, if you remember the holy name at the time of death. So, it's very important. So Prabhupada created many pure devotees. If you take the broad definition of pure devotee, many pure devotees. This movement could not go on unless there are pure devotees present. Because the avesh, all right, how many of you know the meaning avesh? Whoa, let me ask you. How many of you know the meaning avesh? Raise your hand up. There's 100 people sitting here today, devotees. How many of you are initiated? How many are initiated? You're very lucky. You crash studied for the initiation test and somehow whether you passed. Avesh is a fundamental, necessary concept in Krishna consciousness. Absolutely necessary, not optional. Some things in Krishna consciousness you can say, okay, that's optional. Avesh is not optional. Avesh means empowerment. This whole movement is running on avesh. Nothing could go on. No book distribution could go on. No preaching could go on. No life membership program could go on. Even prasadam distribution couldn't go on unless there's avesh. And where is that avesh coming from? It's coming from Srila Prabhupada. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. Prabhupada is not dead. He's empowering this entire movement. And he is Saktivesh. Saktivesh means who descended from the spiritual world. Of course, it can mean who it can also mean who descended from a higher planet. For example, we accept that Jesus Christ was Saktivesh also, but not from Vaikuntha. Not from Vaikuntha. Do you think he was from Vaikuntha? No, okay. Just checking. He was not from Vaikuntha. He was from the heavenly planets, probably Brahmaloka. So that is also Saktivesh because he descends as a acharya in this world. He was also acharya, we accept. Modern Christianity has been spoiled because they have no disciples succession. Therefore, they do not know what to do and what not to do. What is sin, what is not sin, they don't even know that then, because they have no guru. Oh, there's one, that's very interesting actually. There's one group of Christians sect in the United States called Disciples of Christ. Very interesting, huh? Ritviks. You know, Disciples of Christ is the name of the organization of, Christians. So they think they're direct disciples of Christ. When in reality, they have no guru. Just see. The Ritvik concept didn't work for the Christians either. You know. They haven't got any guru because they're not taking the actual... And Prabhupada, every time he would meet with a Christian, Sridhar Prabhupada, they would want to discuss philosophy and scripture. Prabhupada refused. He said, first of all, you tell me why. Your scripture says, referring to the Bible, your scripture says, thou shalt not kill. Why you are killing the innocent animals? And he would not go any further. Wouldn't move from that. There's one video you all should see where Sridhar Prabhupada is talking with this cardinal in France. Anyone seen this film? You must have seen it, yeah. Some senior devotees have seen, yeah. Cardinal means actually next to the Pope, the highest position. They're supposed to be, beyond sannyasi, they are practically like the DBC of the Catholic Church. Only, I don't know how many cardinals there are, but in comparison to hundreds of millions or billions of Catholics in the world, there's very few cardinals. They're very, very high at the stack. The Pope is elected from the cardinals. They're nominated and elected. So that means that this man was very, very highly placed in the Catholic Church. And he met with Prabhupada, his good fortune, he met with Prabhupada. And because conversations were going on, and Prabhupada would not discuss anything except this one point. Your scripture says, thou shalt not kill the innocent animals. Why are you killing the innocent animals? And he proceeded to make an ass out of himself. Total ass. Such a big man in the church made a total ass out of himself. And it's recorded on film. He says, it is for food. Heavy French accent. It is for food. We have to eat food. You know, Prabhupada completely dismantled that, you know. So many vegetarians now, hundreds of millions of vegetarians, perhaps more, in the world today. One reporter said, did I tell you this in the last class? Did I say, one reporter said, what about all the starving Indians? There's so many people are starving in India. Did I say this yesterday? So many people are starving in India, suggesting that, nothing but poor people. This used to be the concept in America. Now they woke up and realized that it's a good place to make money and bring in their IT industry, bring in their McDonald's and Wendy's and KFC and all that. They suddenly woke up and realized that Indians have money. It went something like this. The CEO's name of the company is Jack. And one of his top board members, his name is John. John comes in to meet with CEO Jack and says, Jack, we've got a, and let's say John is in charge of international marketing for a multi-billion-dollar corporation. John says to Jack, Jack, we've got to open up the Indian market. It's big. Jack says, come on, get off it, you know. Everybody's poor in India, you know. Just poor people. We're not going to go into India. Forget it. John says, Jack, come on. You got to catch up with times. You're in the past, man. There's people in India that have got the bucks. We need to put up. We need to set up our corporations. India, they got plenty of money, Jack. Jack is confused. Really? Are you joking with me? No, Jack, I am not joking with you. They got bucks in India. We have to open the Indian market. That's how these corporations came in here, including 3M, the infamous chemical company, 3M, chemical company, Monsanto, another world's worst demons, poisoning the planet and cheating people and lying, fraud, everything. You know, the worst demons on the planet. And all these corporations discovered they could make big bucks off of India. Exploitation. McDonald's, Wendy's, KFC discovered the Indian market. Anyways, the point is that when Prabhupada was physically on the planet, he was just trying to get anyone to take up Krishna consciousness, and he did succeed in creating some pure devotees. He succeeded. Who follows Acharya? Who empowered by Avesh empowerment? He's empowering this whole movement today and in the future also. He will be empowering this movement for 10,000 years. You know that? His Divine Grace, Jagaguru, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, will empower this movement for 10,000 years. He will be more famous than Christ. I mean, Christ is very famous on this planet, you know. Billions of people know about Christ. With all respects to any Christians that might happen to hear this lecture, you know, but actually, Prabhupada informed us in 1969, gradually Christianity will fade into the past. No disrespect, you know, it's a bona fide religion, but the problem is they're animal killers is the problem. If they weren't butchering animals, it's a very fine religion. Nothing wrong with it. But don't grow. No one to tell them that thou shalt not kill means don't butcher animals. Nobody will tell them that. So they changed the translation of the Bible to say, thou shalt not commit murder. Excuse me, that's not what it said. Thou shalt not kill means don't kill any living entity. Especially cows and other goats, other animals, don't kill. There are very few Christians who are vegetarian, unfortunately, very few. If a Christian can be vegetarian, they will succeed in their spiritual life. Like St. Francis was a great, great saint. He was strictly vegetarian. Birds used to land on his hand fearlessly. So he was so situated in love of God, birds would land on his hand without fear, you know. So Prabhupada created this movement of Avesh. We have to understand that point. And everything is going on by his Shakti, Guru Tattva, in this purport Prabhupada mentions different tattvas. So Guru Tattva is another tattva. That who is Guru, who is representative of Adi Guru? Adi Guru is Krishna, and Baladeva is also Adi Guru, first expansion of Krishna. And so all other gurus are representing Adi Guru. Representing Krishna. Who represents Krishna? They are bona fide spiritual master if they're following all in disciple succession, you see? So we have to know this. So, this is a very, Prabhupada said, intelligent class. This group is all belonging to the intelligent class. You please try to encourage others to revive this Krishna culture. revive the Krishna culture, because the Vedic culture is Krishna culture. It is not something else. All the other religions are newer in comparison to pure Sanatana Dharma, which is Krishna consciousness. Lord Brahma is the original guru under Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So this movement is all coming. Parampara is not something new. So you all please take this mission seriously and help to go on building it. Thank you very much. Anybody have questions? Yes, sir. Somebody has a relay for me, please. I can't always hear it through the mic.
This incident relates to...
Here. Relay, come on. Here.
This incident relates to Satya Yuga.
Is it? Yeah, I got the question. Did it happen in Satyuga? I'm sorry, I don't recall which yuga. Do you remember which yuga? Do you remember which yuga? Could have been.
So, Indradyumna Maharaj was cursed, but he immediately got elephant body or after finishing his remaining life of 1 lakh years in Satya Yuga.
Remained a long time, because remember the time of the devas is different from earth time. He remained a long time in the body of an elephant. I don't recall exactly how many years, but it was the time of the devas. So according, it's the time of the devas is key to the time of Lord Brahma.
My question is whether Indradyumna Maharaj finished his remaining life in Satya Yuga, or he immediately become elephant?
He was cursed. He was cursed to become elephant. He did not become elephant voluntarily. It was due to some aparad that he became elephant by curse. So before that, he was living a long life also. It was not Kali Yuga, that's for sure. Not a short life, not by our current time calculation. By calculation of time of the devas, or calculation possibly Satyuga, when the lifespan is millions of years, in Satyuga lifetime, millions of years. So, in any event, he was long time elderly in the universe, so to speak. By the time he became an elephant, and then he was stuck in the elephant body for a long time before he was delivered by Lord Vishnu. Okay? Anyone else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes. You're the relay person. Yes, Prabhu?
We should try to encourage others to accept this Krishna consciousness in their life. This Vedic culture, but when we try practically, that result comes opposite only because of our mistakes. So what to do in that case?
When we try to apply Vedic culture in our life, the result is opposite. When we try to apply our Vedic culture in our life,
yes.
He saying that you tell me that we should apply Vedic culture in our life.
So do it. We should encourage others to accept Krishna consciousness. We commit mistakes while encouraging them, so what should we do? Well, I can tell you Srila Prabhupada's personal instruction to me in that regards. He wrote me a letter and he said that he ordered me to become, in all respects, the perfect Krishna-conscious angel. It's a direct letter from Prabhupada to me. Well, I'm afraid I doubt, it's not possible even in this lifetime to come up to, after I go to, after I leave this world and after Prabhupada takes me to Braj, then. But in this lifetime, I don't see how I could become a perfect angel. This is too tall an order, you know, but I'm ordered to become a perfect angel. So the main thing is, we must develop the 26 qualities of Vaishnava. That is within reach. We have to. If a devotee is rude, obnoxious, puffed up, of course that's anti-preaching. So, whereas Mahaprabhu teaches dasano dasano das, servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So we have to exhibit good qualities. That's preaching. Just like in a school, high school. And so they may have programs and announcements and propaganda and signs on the walls saying, don't smoke cigarettes. But then all the students know you go by the teacher's lounge and the cigarette smoke is coming out from underneath the door and you can smell it. So the teachers say, don't smoke cigarette, and they're sitting in the lounge smoking cigarette. Well, students are never going to be able to swallow that hypocrisy. So we have to be, understand, first of all, every devotee is on stage. You understand? We have on stage means, and the spotlight is on us. Why? Because we are representing Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Outsiders, they don't know anything about Krishna. They only know I met a Krishna devotee. Now, either they have a pleasant and enlivening and inspiring experience with a devotee, or if they meet a neophyte who is off and not reading adequately, not chanting adequately, and full of mental speculations, rude and obnoxious, then it ruins their spiritual life. I met one of those Hare Krishna devotees. Man, that's something else, man. I've never met such a rude person in my life. Terrible. Anti-preaching. So try to summon enough of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnav to be at least something exemplary in character, mood, something blissful. Be blissful. Anandam Bodhivardhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Chanting. Ananda. We have to try to be Kevala Ananda Kanda, Narottam Das Thakur says. We have to be a little bit joyful to inspire others into Krishna consciousness. I saw a film at the at the ISKCON Leadership Sangha in Mayapur last year. Were you there? He's a Brajabasi, sold out Brajabasi, rarely leaves Vrindavan. So they showed a film in which a devotee was out in the streets of New York City interviewing people and introducing them to the holy name Maha Mantra for the very first time. Now the devotees were joyful. They had a microphone, the camera was rolling. They're out there with a microphone and they're interviewing people and say, you try this. It's interesting. It's far out stuff. It's good stuff. Make you feel good. And devotees are joyful. Therefore, and the karmis, they're laughing and feeling ecstatic just by associating with a devotee and starting for the very first time the chanting of the holy name for the first time ever. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Wow. Okay, cool. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yeah. And they're laughing and, you know, and some are begin dancing, you know. First time ever contact with the holy name. Why? They become joyful because the devotee were joyful, you see. That's the key. So endeavor is required. And holding up the mirror, look in your own heart. Where am I? You know. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the introspective sage. We have to be introspective sage. Introspective means who looks within the heart. Where am I? Am I making any advancement? Am I hearing and chanting enough? Am I wretchedly miserable? Or am I happy by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas? Where am I? You have to look inside your heart and check. Well, if you're frustrated, then you'll be rude and obnoxious, you see. And then people will be so turned off, it'll ruin their chances of spiritual life. You see, so everyone has to be mini acharya, that's required. Small acharya. Every devotee must be a very small acharya. You see, setting example for others. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Rasa Bihari ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Nitya Gopa Manandi.